Happy Mother's Day to all who have much to celebrate, which is just about everyone with a belly button. And happy Mother's Day to those who deserve to be celebrated. It's good for our spirits to have days of remembrance, and celebration, and thanksgiving, and what better occasion is there than for those who have blessed us with life, and for all those who've nurtured us in all kinds of ways. However entrenched language for God may suggest otherwise, mothering is also the face of God, the Creator, Redeemer, the Sustainer. Thanks be to God. Likewise, today, happy Ascension Sunday to all who gather on this, the last Sunday in the Easter season. We come to the end of the Easter season today. Easter began early in the morning in the half light of uncertainty at the dawn of a Sunday in the cemetery outside Jerusalem. And the whispers, "He is not here." And it comes to its end in the glory of the mystery of Christ's ascension to the right hand of the Father. He is not here. Again. At the end of the season of Lent, Jesus is lifted high on a cross in crucifixion. At the end of the season of Easter, Jesus is lifted high in glory in ascension. The same Jesus crucified in shame, raised from the grave, now raised in glory, our same eyes lifted in sorrow to the cross are now lifted to the skies in what? Celebration? But is it really and fully? Perhaps, but again, he is not here. So are they lifted in sorrow? No, not exactly. Then what? Ron Rollheiser observes, among the deeper mysteries in life, perhaps, the one we struggle with the most is the mystery of the ascension. It's not so much that we misunderstand it, we simply don't understand it. The ascension names and highlights a paradox that lies deep at the center of life. Namely, that we all reach a point in life where we can only give our presence more deeply by going away so that others can receive the full blessing of our spirits. Jesus was raised from the tomb, not to die again, but to live forever and ever, but not to walk amongst us forever and ever. Not in the same way, but he was raised to live and to reign, and the ascension affirms this. Christ is alive, Christ is glorified, Christ is forever and ever. Today finishes what the crucifixion tried to destroy, and what Easter morning started, the glory, the power of Christ forever. Christ died, Christ was raised, Christ will come again. Rollheiser again says, the ascension deepens intimacy by giving us precisely a new presence, a deeper, richer one, but one which can only come about if our former way of being present is taken away. One congregation that exhibits this new intimacy in the church is the congregation at Ephesus. In the letter to the Ephesians, one of the most warm and encouraging in the Bible, St. Paul offers a blessing to this church rooted in the affirmation of Christ's glory. Here's a beautiful prayer of thanksgiving and encouragement for friends who mean so much. He says, I know your faith in Jesus to prepare a place for you. Christ is far above earthly place, far above earthly power, far above the limits of time. And yet he's not far above as in removed from. It can seem that way, that Christ is so far removed from all that we know, what good is he to us now? Christ is so far removed, it can seem, from what we experience in daily life of grief or fear or suffering or trouble or shame. What good is he to me? People can sometimes get the idea their spiritual life is supposed to be like that, and so they become religious parodies of themselves. You ever heard of someone so heavenly minded they're of little earthly good? Even the desert fathers were not impressed with people like that. One of them said, "The person who teaches others by actions, not by words, is the one who's truly wise." Irenaeus wrote, "Spirits without bodies will never be spiritual men and women. It's our entire being, that is to say, the soul and flesh combined, which by receiving the Spirit of God constitutes the spiritual person. Faith in this life is embodied. It is hands and feet and washing dishes and helping your neighbor when they're in need. It's doing the right thing when it's the hard thing. It's saying you're sorry when you've done something wrong. It's, as Kathleen Norris put it, the quotidian mysteries, laundry, liturgy, and quote-unquote women's work, which is definitely not just women's work. And yet for all of this, the basics of our faith, the daily ordinariness of our faith, we do not lose the mystery of our faith. Let's not lose the mystery of our faith. The church isn't just a sociological category or a laundry list of must-dos. It's not just a frail human institution. It's not just a business or a nonprofit or a social service organization or a political party. It's not just a society of like-minded people who seek warm-hearted interactions. There's power here beyond all of that. A power that the ascension anoints, lest we forget. This power, Ephesians says, is that the church is the body, the fullness of Christ, who fulfills all in all here in place, in power, and in time. I've seen that power at work even in these last days. My parents really haven't been involved in a church for years. Bad health and roads that fork in life just resulted in a situation where they're years from actually having a pastor of their own, or a small group, or a Sunday school class, or any of those things that tie us together with others. And then Mom died last week, and it felt lonely there. I called on an old seminary friend pastor in Fort Worth to come and pray over her in the hospital, and she did, even though she didn't know Mom before that, and I was gladdened by that. And then, in the days that followed, they showed up, those people. A few of them had been there all along, but now they showed up. Those old friends from Sunday school and wedding showers and softball teams and parent guilds and chaperone trips and committees. Some churches have committees. Did you know this? It's a very strange thing. That church even had a committee on committees. That's commitment to committee life. Those people, they showed up. They came with pound cakes and boxes of sandwiches. They wrote Dad, and they called and called and called him until he took the phone off the hook. He still has one of those phones that has a hook you set it on. Ask your parents, some of you. The shared life in the church over many years, it turns out, wasn't just transactional or dutiful from a human perspective. It wasn't just individualized spiritual experience for people who happened to be in the same room for an hour a week. It was relational, and it went deep, and it stuck. And the church showed up. There's an old Latin phrase about the church that comes into English as the church militant, and I've never liked that phrase. Never liked that term or one of its anthems, Onward Christian Soldiers. I don't like that imagery for the church. But I do like what's way behind the term. The church on earth, a pilgrim church, serving, working, showing up, struggling together with and for one another on good and hard days. The church pilgrim, the church serving, the body of Christ churching. Until the day comes when we each join the church triumphant. I do like that term. We're the church churching here. And we all have a part. It's the church showing up, and it's beautiful in seasons of grief and children's classrooms and maybe even in committees, maybe somewhere. When you're in the body, Christ far above doesn't seem so distant and far removed. It's Christ here in this very room. The church showing up as the body of Christ in place, in power, in time. In Colossians, he is the firstborn of all creation, the one through whom all things are created in heaven and on earth. We are reconciled from our alienation and hostilities to be holy, and this is a mystery. In Romans, he is for us, and we are more than conquerors through him, and from whom nothing can separate us, not death or life or anything else in all creation. This is consolation. In Revelation, he is the Alpha and the Omega, the one who was and is to come. We cast our crowns at his feet. This is worship. In John, he is in the beginning with God. All things come into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. We walk into his light from our darknesses. This is our hope. And for all this, and I mean all of this, he is Emmanuel with us even now. Christ is the head, the church is the body. The church is the fullness of him who fills all in all. That phrase, it's a wow passage. The church is the fullness of him who fills all place, fills all power, fills all time. Only by grasping some small part of that can we even begin to fulfill his charge? Be my witnesses to the end of the earth, to all places, to all powers, in all times. Tomorrow at the funeral, we'll hear sung an old song I used to sing in my youth choir, sung by a duet of one of those youth parents who poured her life into us, and one of those youth from those old days. The song is called In This Very Room, and Kathy will play it there. Kathy comes and will play it there. And it's so simple. One of the lines just says, in this very room, there's quite enough love for one like me. And there's quite enough hope and quite enough power to chase away any gloom. For Jesus, Lord Jesus, is in this very room. He's far above all. He's amongst us now. He is with us and those around you. He's with us in this bread and this cup, this peace and presence of Christ to you.